A little bit later on in our service, Jason will be preaching God's word to us, and he'll be preaching from the passage that's printed on your service sheet, which I'll read now, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. This comes after Paul has explained in some detail that we are all sinners, both Jew and Gentile, and that we therefore all are liable to God's righteous wrath and judgment, and that there is nothing that we can do about it in ourselves. But then he outlines this wonderful, glorious news that we read here in these verses before us. Let us hear the word of God. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus.
Well, good morning, church. We're going to have a just very brief meditation on Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. And the way we're going to start out is I want you to imagine something we studied a few months back now. What would the final judgment experience be like for a non-Christian? What would it be like to have died and to stand before the Almighty, Holy, Righteous King, and then have all of your sins, all of your mistakes, every single thing that you've done that was shameful, that hurt somebody that was innocent, everything that you did that was willful, evil, and wicked against God, to be brought up point by point, stroke by stroke, and for all this to be done publicly, not just before the most holy and majestic and pure King who is infinite, but before his host of angels and all of the righteous. And then not only just feeling that shame for all of the wickedness and evil, but then being cast away, being abandoned, being exiled from the God of life. That experience is real. That experience is something that billions and billions of human beings will go through at the end of time. But that same experience is the very thing that we celebrate today, that Jesus Christ himself, the only sinless, perfect human being, experienced on the cross at Golgotha for sinners. The book of Romans before chapter 3 has been building a case that the wrath of God is revealed against sin. We see that in Romans chapter 1. And in chapter 2 we hear about every single human being will stand before God and will be judged according to their works. The exact same language, ironically, as Revelation 20. And then we hear in Romans chapter 3 in the beginning that there is no one righteous. Everyone will stand before the king and be judged according to their works. And at the same time, not a single person is righteous. All have gone astray. And so Romans has created a problem, or at least it has identified the issue. There is a perfect God that demands perfection. But we display perversity, twisted wickedness. Therefore, judgment awaits. Every single human being, whether they know it or not, already stands condemned. The book of John chapter 3 tells us. It is as if the guillotine is at every moment hanging above their neck, and they just don't realize it yet. It is simply a matter of time until the blade drops. So we have two very brief points that we see in Romans chapter 3, 21 through 26. First, the righteousness of God demands judgment. Secondly, the judgment of God enables righteousness. So point number one, verses 25 through 26, I'm going to read it for us one more time. Whom, being Christ, God put forward publicly as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. Again, the guillotine awaits. It is hanging over every person, and the only answer is the cross. This text that we just read shows that God the Father put forth His own Son publicly. The one who took on human flesh. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, became a human being like you and I, lived the righteous life, and then to accomplish the plan that the Father, Son, and Spirit had planned before creation, He puts Him forward publicly to be executed, to take the guillotine for sinners. And this is the imagery we've seen throughout Scripture again and again. Someone needs to die for sin. Someone needs to be executed. We see in Exodus 12, we saw last year, instead of the firstborn of those in Israel, the lamb had to be slaughtered and its blood painted all over the door so that the angel did not destroy the firstborn. We see in the Levitical system of the priests, on the Day of Atonement, a goat must be killed and its blood dripped and sprinkled on the gold mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant before the presence of God. Why? To satisfy God's wrath for a time for Aaron, his family, and the people of Israel. And when we go back to the beginning of Scripture, when Adam and Eve first sinned, it would have been just for this perfect God to have initiated the great white throne of judgment then and there. Immediately, God could have come and cast Adam and Eve into hell, into the lake of fire, on the spot. But why did He not? Why is there a gap between Genesis 3 and Revelation 20? Why is there anything at all distancing the two? It's because God has had a plan to save us. Through slaughtering, executing, and subjecting His own Son to the guillotine for sinners. And so this morning, two questions. Right now, are you more prone to be the legalist and think that you've no longer needed to be executed as much as you used to? That you need less grace than you did years and years back? That no longer should you be subjected to judgment because now you're a better person? Are you tempted to think that way? Or are you tempted to think you need to satisfy God's wrath? That you need to do what Christ already did for you. That you need to be the sacrifice today because Christ, for whatever reason, wasn't enough. Where are you sitting today? The legalist or the publican? I think all of us shift back and forth. But the second point, God's righteous judgment of His Son actually enables our opportunity to become righteous. We go back to the beginning of the text, 21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And then skip down to verse 24. They are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So because God is righteous, He had to execute His Son for sinners. But because of that execution, now we sinners can become righteous. This is why Paul paints this portrait as a gift of God's grace. Again, because the guillotine is hanging above all of us, and because Christ stuck His neck out and was cut off for you, now we have liberation, we have deliverance, we have redemption, we have been freed from our necks lying under the blade. If you've come to Christ, if you've trusted into Jesus, it is as if God has lifted up your shoulders off of the guillotine because Christ has already been killed for you. You have been freed. It is a gift. It is by grace. That's why Paul says, it's not of the law. It's not of works. Because the picture he's already painted is, you've already failed out of the gate. You were born on the guillotine, and the rest of your life only deepened the case against you that you should be laying there. Therefore, you have to be rescued and liberated from some other means. You cannot push yourself off. It's a done deal. God has to rescue you. Therefore, Christ comes, does that, and when you trust Him, when you embrace Him, when you love Him, that gift is what brings redemption. And so my final question in this brief meditation is this a God that you can trust? The God who takes the guillotine for you. Is this a God that you can serve? The God who subjects Himself to the very judgment that you earned and merited through your wicked deeds. Is this the God that you can surrender to? That you can lay your plans before as an offering saying, Lord, Your will be done. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, hear loud and clear. God says, be reconciled to Me. Come to Me today. Embrace My gift now. I am offering you life. I am offering you freedom. I am giving you forgiveness of sins. I am rescuing you from My own righteous condemnation, and I've done so through My own Son. All that I ask is that you receive the gift. You do nothing, and I will give you everything. Be reconciled to Him today, He says. So in conclusion, the choice is yours. Either you will be judged on that last day, or Christ has been judged for you. You must decide. And the thing is, that very judge who sits on that very throne on that last day is the one who underwent the judgment already. Remember that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our sin is more sinister and more wicked and more twisted than we could ever imagine. Not because,
not just because of how evil it is in and of itself, but because of whom we have sinned against. You, the perfect, loving, gracious, holy, righteous Lord. Help us to remember today that we have been rescued from justice if we are in Christ. We have been delivered from a sentence that we deserve if we are in Christ. May we glory in the pardon and the righteousness that we have been clothed in because of your work and your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. We lift all these things to you, Heavenly Father. In the name of the Son, by the Spirit we pray. Amen.